This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, August 21st, 2016. The 13th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Have you forgotten the exhortation which addresses you as sons? May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There are two things that are encompassed in that second reading from today that sort of fly in the face of what we hear commonly. And I'm not going to parse them tremendously, but this is more just a foundational presentation. And the two things are whether everybody's a child of God and whether our Lord disciplines us. If you paid attention to the reading, you know the answer of both of those questions right now. But again, it flies in the face of what we're commonly told. General presentation is the fact that everybody walking the face of the planet, everybody that's taken air, is a child of God, and they can believe any way they want, and that's fine. They can just make up their own decision because it doesn't matter, because everybody's a child of God. In a sense, that is correct. In a sense. In that sense, as I pointed out previously, is a sense of the fact that we are all children of God. In a creative sense, we're all created in the image of God, okay? So he is the father of all by virtue of the fact that he is the creator and we are the creatures. However, so are cats and dogs and cows, trees. They're all created by God also, and I hope you don't put yourself in the same category as those things. There are a lot, that's ridiculous. There are a lot of folks in this world who put us in the same category as trees and animals and all this good stuff. All right? God is creator of everything, and we are all children of God in that sense. The sense in which our Lord speaks to us today is about those children who are special to him. Those children who are, as he refers to them, as legitimate sons and daughters. That's the other sense. Everyone walking the face of the planet is not okay in God's sight when it comes to, they are all sons. Some are legitimate, some are illegitimate. If you have an older translation of the Bible, it would be interesting if you would go home and read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 12, and see the word that is used when the newer translations say illegitimate children. Those of you who know what I'm talking about understand that God is very pointed in pointing out what you are in his eyes if you do not embrace him in faith and obedience as an illegitimate child. Our Lord talks about his legitimate children. So don't fall into this mess, this drivel that is that everybody walking is okay before God. We're all children, but there are legitimate and illegitimate children. Okay? That's the first thing. Right? There are two groups. I mean, we got that from the gospel today. All right? Legitimate and illegitimate. There are those who he's going to look at and say, I don't know where you come from. He is going to ignore them. Okay? Go to the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's hell. That's a place and it's for all eternity. Your soul is not annihilated. Okay? That's where we get these little things from Jesus. Okay? So everybody's not okay. Those who embrace our Lord Jesus Christ in faith and obedience are okay. Now for those of us who embrace him in faith and obedience, he looks upon us as a loving father. And loving fathers in well-ordered families discipline their children. Well, I know families where they're not well-ordered. And that's not a father worth his salt. who would let his children do whatever they wanted. He's treating them as if they were illegitimate children, or that other word that is in the older versions. Okay? We have to understand that our Lord loves those who come to him in faith and obedience, and he will discipline them. Let's talk about this discipline thing, because that's the other thing that you hear a whole lot presented in our day. God would never do anything harsh to anyone. That is so ridiculous. That is so anti-Christian to say that. Because God does discipline his children if he loves them. You want to get people all riled up? Have some big newsworthy event happen. You know, some huge terrorist attack where hundreds or maybe thousands of people are killed. And say, yeah, there is an element where that's God's chastisement. Oh, you fundamentalist, I can't believe you say that. God would never do that. Yes, he would. Yes, he does. If you ever cracked open this book, you would know that. Don't listen to the stuff that God doesn't punish. All right? He will punish because he wants to correct. And he wants to show, if you don't live in conformity with the way he wants, that there are consequences to that. So yes, indeed, God, in a communal sense, in acts like I just described, and personally, he chastises us because he is a loving father. And any loving father corrects and wants his children to grow. They want them to be better. They want to prepare them. We as parents in this world, what is the rationale? To prepare your children to live in society. There's nothing better for a parent than when a child, you know, all of a sudden they become a doctor or a nurse or a cop. You just remember all the different nonsense that they were in their whole life. And then all of a sudden you look at them and like, for one thing, it kind of drives you it drives this point home. It's a little bit humiliating that they don't need you anymore. In that sense, to keep them up and keep a roof over their head, particularly if your kids start making more money than you. That's actually even cooler. All right? You nurture them up for that. That's why you correct them. Because they will not do good things. They will not grow if you don't correct them. So those of you who are still living under your parents' roof and you don't like correction, understand that it's a necessity. It's because your mom and dad love you. That's discipline. Generally, when we hear about discipline, you know, our minds go to, you know, the spanking. That's a part of it. It really is. But when God is talking about his discipline in the context of this reading, he actually shows us the way discipline works in our Catholic lives. One, his business. Two, our business. And then the business where we work together. His business is that occasional correction to the greater or lesser extent. Webster's Dictionary, not some theological book, not some commentary. Webster's Dictionary. Really, it's kind of cool because it hits all three of those things I just said, him, us, and then us together. Those are the three definitions of discipline in Webster's. The first one, him. Control, discipline is control that is gained by requiring that rules or orders be obeyed. Requiring that rules and orders be obeyed and punishing bad behavior. That for requiring that rules or orders are obeyed. I am God. I say this. You should just do it because of the source. Because I'm God and I said it. If nothing else. If you don't care about anything else, it should be, I'm God and I said it. There are requirements that the rules and orders be followed. He requires that, okay? Particularly of his children. I just want to talk about us. I don't want to talk about the worldlings who don't do what God says in it because he doesn't care about them. He allows them in their disobedience. He allows them as illegitimate children to do whatever they want. Because they will receive the consequences of that both in this life and in the next. He will allow them to receive those consequences. If those consequences happen to make them embrace him in faith and obedience, then he will use those consequences for their good. But before, not. hence the difference between legitimate and illegitimate, but he requires that these rules are obeyed. It is not a salad bar. We cannot arbitrarily look at things and say, well, I'll do that, but I don't agree with that because I don't think this, or I wasn't raised like that. No, it doesn't work like that. He has rules, they are objective, and you are objectively required to fulfill them. That's him. And he will fix it if you don't, if you're one of his children. The best analogy for I could discipline is the Marine Corps. I was watching a documentary not too long ago, and they had a Marine Corps drill instructor from the late 60s and early 70s on there. And they said, that was back in the day when drill instructors knew, and you knew, that there was what we used to refer to as negative consequences or negative reinforcement for things. They would lay their hands on you, and you knew they would lay their hands on you. All right? And they asked this guy, they said, you know, are they turning out softer Marines now because they're not allowed to hit them? And he said, I don't want to say that. He said, but I will tell you this. He said, I guarantee you that I can teach a person in one-third the time if I know that I can lay my hands on them and they know I can lay my hands on them. I have a personal experience with it that drives this point home. My father tried to teach me from the time I was like 8, 9, 10 years old how to tie a tie. All right? Just tie a tie, a necktie. Oh, I can't do it. 10 years. Every time I had to, I'll do this, do that. I can't. I went to the Marine Corps. I am not exaggerating. It was like 20 minutes. I tied the most cool, tight knot, and it had a little dimple in it. It was awesome. You know, people didn't say, hey, tie my tie for me. All right. 20 minutes. Why? Because I had the specter of what would happen if I didn't do it correctly hanging over my head. I point out quite frequently that we, in our nature, have this tendency to learn a lot better through negative experiences. That's just the way we are. And guess what? He knows our frame. He knows that we are dust, and he will work with it. All right? He does the same exact thing. We should know that there are consequences if we don't obey his rules. That's where it comes to us. The punishment thing, that's his business. For us, the second definition of Webster's, discipline is a way of behaving that shows a willingness to obey rules or orders. We as good Catholics should do what we're supposed to do because we're supposed to do it, not because we're scared of the punishment. We should do the things that we're supposed to do because of the source again, God. You know, our loving Creator, who called us to Himself out of this world of darkness and death and evil, who called us to Himself, when He's called us to Himself, we should just appreciate the fact that He's done that for us. And He's got some rules, and, you know, because of the glorious things I have, I should just obey. That's our part in the deal. It is a way of behaving, not a way of acting when you're in church. It's a way of behaving in your day-to-day life. It's a way of behaving that shows a willingness, not a coercion, a willingness to obey God's rules and orders. That is our part of this deal. That's the way we should live. And then there's the Him and us. Him, punishment, us, the willingness to obey His rules. Then there's the Him and us, both together. A behavior that is judged by how well it follows a set rules or orders. Him. He is the judge. He has given the rules. He has laid out the precepts. It is not up to us to determine, well, I think I'm doing a pretty good job at that. Who cares what you think? What school student, for those of you who are still in school, what school student doesn't think that they've studied enough? I know this stuff. You know, that's fine. Yeah, you could tell yourself that all day. But when the test paper gets put in front of you, and all of a sudden you're like, well, I didn't study that part. Yeah, okay. Hello. You know, we are not the ones that can arbitrarily say, I'm following the rules okay. He makes that determination. He makes a determination as to how well we follow the rules. So you see how that works together. He's the one that determines how we follow the rules because he set them out. He will be the determiner. Just like any good father in this world, he will be the determiner as to how well you've done. You know, I think a C is pretty good to get on that test. Any good father go, I don't think a C is good enough. He wants you to be better. He wants you to learn. He wants to push you. Any good father is like that. Any good parents are like that in a well-ordered family. Him, us, him and us. That's that whole discipline thing. And yes, he does discipline us. Yes, he does give us the occasional spanking. And guess what? When he does it, we deserve it. I didn't deserve it. Yeah, you did. Why? I just like that God who's up there and he just does good things for us and I just live okay life and I'm a pretty good person and I just get to go to heaven afterwards. That's an easy believism and that's not Catholicism. That's not the Christian faith. Why? Why do we have discipline? Because the most important thing, not usual that you can come up and say the most or never or always, truly, unequivocally, you can say that the most important thing to God, as far as we're concerned, is our fidelity, our faithfulness to him. That's the most important thing. Because if we're not faithful, if we abandon or renounce the faith, whether formally or materially, our souls are in jeopardy. Nothing less than that. Our souls are in jeopardy. It's called apostasy. Apostasy is the abandonment or the renunciation of religious belief. The abandonment or renunciation. There are not a whole lot of people that formally abandon or renounce the faith. Not many. But there are some. We who were here during our transition into the Catholic Church have been introduced to formal apostasy. Formal apostasy is when you do things like for several years you are catechized and you are told that as we are approaching the Catholic Church, this is not the way you used to think about it, like changing jerseys, because that's the way it was back in the past. If you didn't like this bishop, you went running over to another bishop. If you didn't like this parish, you went running over to another parish until you found somewhere where you liked it. All right? And we told them, that's not like that anymore. You are taking obligations of the Catholic Church upon yourself. You understand this? Yes. Do you understand this? Yes. Let's vote for this. Yeah, we used to vote for things. Everybody, yes. Over 90% of the people, yes, we want to be Catholics. The day came. They came and knelt at this altar rail. This very altar rail. Knelt down and said the profession of faith. I believe all the Catholic Church teaches and believes to be the revealed word of God. So help me God, before the Blessed Sacrament, body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. And then had a Catholic bishop, Monsignore, come over and anoint them with oil and confirm them in the Catholic Church. An indelible sacrament can never go away. You've made the decision. You've been taught for years. Here it is. Boom. Within a couple weeks, where's so-and-so? I talked to them the other day. They're going to Episcopal whatever. This person's going over to Anglican whatever. Their souls are in mortal danger. They lied to God. They formally abandoned the faith that they promised before God that they believed. Because, if they feel fed over there better. No, their souls are in jeopardy. They're in danger of going to hell because of what they did, because they lied to God. That's formal apostasy. So some of us even know that one. Not many people know a whole lot of formal who just renounce the faith. Most are material apostates. Material apostates are those folks who renounce or abandon the faith by the way they live their life. They come in here and they head nod and they believe, or they say they believe, and then they go out there and they cohabitate, they contracept, they get abortions, they do all those things. That is material apostasy. You can come in your head nod and do all the stuff and kneel and stand, take sacraments to your danger, but guess what? You're apostate. You're not living the Catholic life. That is why I say it's the most important thing. That's why God corrects us. That's why He disciplines us. He wants to make us come back. And I can tell you for a fact that some of those people that were in formal apostasy are paying the price for that. You can see that it didn't work out for them. God's not, and they're still in their intransigence and in their sin, thumb in their nose, through pride, lack of humility. Oh no, I'm not going to come back because these people will think this of me or think that, where they would be embraced by open arms if they did come back. I've been harping on the fact that we've had earthly fathers who disciplined us. Why for one moment would we think our Heavenly Father would not discipline us? Our earthly fathers, we dealt with it with them, and they disciplined us really at their whim and will. They disciplined us a lot of times out of anger. You know, as a parent, a lot of times when you punish a child, it's because you're angry at what they did. They didn't listen to me. They it's anger. God doesn't discipline us like that. He's perfect. He doesn't fly off the handle. He's just, I need to fix this. That's why this is so glorious. That's why this reading opened up with, have you forgotten the exhortation? In the older translations, have you forgotten the consolation, the consoling fact that God loves you? And because He loves you, these things that happen in your life are just for your strengthening and your growth. I want you to grow. I want you to be prepared for eternal life with me. That's why I do these things. And He does them out of love. He doesn't do them, like I said, flying off the handle. He disciplines us out of tranquility. He loves us. If we for one moment think that we don't have to endure discipline or humble ourselves, it is an ongoing process, this humbling of ourselves. You know, we should be learning something new about our faith every single day, every single day. If you're studying and you're living a Catholic life, and you'll be confronted by truths every now and then, and it doesn't mean because you didn't know it before, you were stupid. All right? Now, if you are confronted with those truths and you lack humility, you can actually make yourself sound stupid. Just this past week, I haven't heard it in a long time. Used to hear it a lot when we first came into the church, when the doors first opened. Used to hear it a lot. Visitors from elsewhere would come in and go, this isn't a real Catholic church. Whatever. Just go about our bit. This week, heard it again. The exact words. See, people tell on one another. Somebody leaves, somebody hears, Father, guess what this person, I don't get mad. It's sad. This isn't a real Catholic church. You know, that's kind of weird because what happens is that's a demonstration of lack of humility. I'm confronted with something with which I am not familiar. And I don't even know that what I'm familiar with is 40 years old and what I was exposed to in there is over 1,500 years old. And then just, that's not a real Catholic church. Actually, it's just sort of the reverse. What you're seeing out there isn't really, but this is. And you're going to make yourself sound stupid when you say, this isn't a real Catholic church. I mean, you don't have to like it the way things are in here. Go back to where once you came and deal with that. All right? But don't say, this isn't a real Catholic church. You sound goofy. That's a lack of humility. That's how our Lord disciplines us in a more subtle way. He presents us truths that we don't know. We're growing. Hey, look at this. I'm exposing you to this. This is the way things really are, always have been. You know? Learn this. I'm not going to learn it. All right. Go back. Okay? So it's a day-to-day ongoing thing. We should, in humility, learn from our Lord. He's our example, right? Our Lord Jesus Christ, our example. When He's found in the temple, what does it say? At the end, Mary finds Him. She's ecstatic. You know, they have their discussion. And they go on their way. And it says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He subjected himself to his parents, earthly parents. He created them. He created them. And he subjected himself to their authority. If God can humble himself to be in subject, how much more should we, who are not God, not even close, not subject ourselves to his correction and humbling ourselves occasionally? He's our example of that because he wants us to grow. He wants us to grow. I'll leave you with these words from St. Peter. You, therefore, knowing this beforehand, beware lest you be carried away with the error of lawless men and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.